Some of you have been saved for quite a while here in the church. You've known the Lord for quite a while. You've trusted Him as your Savior, and you've been serving Him for a while. I wonder how many of you have known Jesus Christ as your personal Savior for at least 20 years. Raise your hand if you've known Him for 20 years. A lot of people. Let me ask you a question, all right? I want to ask you this question. Do you think that it's possible? Do you think it's possible to get so busy serving in the Lord's work that you neglect your own spiritual health? Can that happen? Let me ask you another question. Come on, those of you who have been saved for a while and you've known the Lord, listen, I want you to think about this question. Do you think it's possible to get so busy helping others that you fail to do the things necessary to help yourself spiritually? Absolutely. It's not only a possibility, it's many times a reality for God's servants. Thus, we have Paul's admonition to his son in the faith, Timothy. Timothy was like a son to Paul. And he writes this letter to him. And as a father would say to his son, he gives him an admonition, an encouragement here. The very last verse of chapter 4, I want you to look at it, verse number 16. He said, Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both, and what's the next two words? Save thyself and them that hear thee. When you first saw the title of the message, it might have taken you aback this morning. The title of the message at the top of the handout is Christian, save thyself. And on the surface, you read this verse, because I got it right from the verse there, where he told him, and you know, you do this, you're going to save thyself. And I took it right from that verse, and you may read that verse and scratch your head, and you may think, wait a minute, save yourself? I thought that we were saved by Jesus Christ alone. I thought we were saved by our faith in Him. I thought there was nothing that we could do to save ourselves. And you're absolutely right about those things, but Paul is not discussing Timothy's eternal salvation in this verse. You see, Timothy's eternal salvation was already settled. Paul knew he was in Christ. Paul knew he called him his son in the faith. So there's no doubt that Timothy was going to heaven. When he said, Timothy, save thyself, he's not saying, okay, now do these things so you'll go to heaven. That's not what he's talking about. In your handout, it says the word save simply means to deliver. So he's saying, Timothy, deliver yourself. Deliver yourself. You see, Paul did not want to see Timothy fall by the wayside. He didn't want to see Timothy become a casualty of war. He wanted Timothy's life to have high impact over the long haul. And he knew, as a young man, that Timothy was going to go through some discouragements and some temptations and through some satanic attacks. And so he tells him, man, you better pay attention. Take heed unto thyself. Take heed to yourself. Save thyself. Many believers, they burn out. They just, quite frankly, they burn out. They're all on fire. They're serving. They're involved in this ministry and that ministry. And they're constantly doing things for the Lord. And they burn out, you know, or they quit. They end up sitting at home. They end up falling by the wayside. They end up maybe falling into sin. And it's because they didn't do what that verse said. They did not take heed unto themselves. In your handout, it says that we can get so busy that we neglect our own spiritual walk and welfare. You can get so busy that you neglect your own spiritual walk with Christ and your own spiritual welfare. You know what? Hey, you can get so busy in the work of the Lord that you forget the Lord of the work. Absolutely. You can get so busy in the work of the Lord that you forget the Lord of the work. You forget who it's all about. The choir sung, Jesus, it's all about you. And we can forget that. And we can begin to think it's about us. It's about our ministries. It's about these numbers. It's about this or that. And we can get, you know, so busy helping people and so busy in the work of the Lord, we forget that it's all about the Lord of the work. And it's all about knowing Christ. And it's about a personal daily walk with Christ. And He wants you to have that fellowship with Him. You see, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were delivered from the penalty of your sin. The moment you trusted Christ, you were delivered from the penalty of your sin. What's the penalty of sin? Well, you tell me, what are the wages of sin? Death. The moment you trusted Christ, you were delivered from the penalty of your sin. That is, you were not going to have to die and spend eternity in hell. You were delivered from eternal damnation, eternal destruction. You were delivered from eternal condemnation. The moment that you trusted Christ and what He did on the cross for you, you were saved from the penalty of your sin. But He tells Timothy, who's been saved from the penalty of his sin, young man, you better take heed unto yourself if you're going to be saved daily from the power of sin. It's one thing to be saved from the penalty of sin and become a Christian. Then it's another thing to live a victorious Christian life and be saved or delivered daily from the power of sin. You see, and that's what he's trying to get across here to Timothy. Verse 16 isn't discussing your eternal salvation in heaven. He's discussing daily deliverance from the power of sin, from quitting, from failing, from falling by the wayside, from backsliding. He says, take heed unto yourself. Pay attention, Timothy. You better pay attention to your own spiritual health. Because in doing that, he said, you will both save yourself from a ruined and wasted life, and in turn, you'll be able to help others and rescue them too. But a burned out, ruined, wasted life cannot help anybody. You're not going to be able to help anybody in that condition. You know, it's like if my car's broke down and it won't start and I got to get it to the mechanic, and Rob says, man, Pastor Rob says, I got a truck. He says, I'll tow you. And so we go to his truck and it's all rusted out and things are falling off of it and the thing won't start. Well, he's going to have a hard time helping me with my problem because he's got problems of his own, amen? And you know what? He said, Timothy, if you don't pay attention to yourself, you're not going to be able to help anybody else. He said, so take heed unto thyself. And he said, you got to pay attention, man, to your own spiritual health. Because when you do that, you'll be able to not only save yourself from a lot of pain and heartache and that daily power of sin, you'll be able to help rescue others. You'll be able to help, as he talked about later in 2 Timothy, you know, that being able to help recover people from the snare of the devil. He said, but if you fall in the snare yourself, how are you going to help somebody else get out of that snare? So, Timothy, save thyself. Nobody can do it for you. You have to take responsibility for your own spiritual walk with the Lord. Nobody can do it for you. You have to care for your own spiritual health. You cannot depend on your spouse for your walk with Christ. You cannot depend upon the pastor for your walk with Christ. You can't depend on the life group teacher. You cannot depend upon your parents. You can't depend upon a Christian friend. Take heed unto thyself. Save thyself. He said, you have got to take personal responsibility for your walk with Jesus Christ. Now, the question is, how am I going to do that? How can I take personal responsibility and save myself from a ruined life, from a wasted life as a Christian? How can I take that responsibility? Well, this morning I want to cover one principle, and then next week we'll do part two, and I'll give you a couple more. This one is foundational. It's probably the most important one I'm going to share with you. Very crucial that you get this, all right? Here it is. In your handout, number one is this. If you want to save thyself, take heed unto thyself. Number one, stay a self-feeding believer. Now, what does self-feeding mean? Well, it's kind of self-explanatory, right? Self-feeding. How many of you have heard that I'm a grandpa? Have y'all heard about that? I don't know if I've mentioned it or not, but yeah, I'm a grandpa. And Landon is 3 weeks old, and he's soon to be 1 month old. But you know what I found out about that young man? I found out he still can't feed himself. He depends on Clinton Kendall. Well, Kendall. Mostly, right? To be fed. He depends on other people to feed him. He cannot feed himself. He cannot go to the fridge and grab something. He cannot pop something in the microwave. He's completely dependent on other people to feed him. Now, on the other hand, his dad and my son, Clint, he does very good at self-feeding, let me tell you. Last night, they were over at the house. We ate dinner, and I said, hey, son, I know he loves this. I said, son, you know, we got ice cream in the freezer. Really? I said, yeah. 30 minutes later, he's walking around with a big bowl of it. He's got no problem going and being a self-feeding person, amen? And Landon can't go get him a bowl of ice cream, but Clint can, right? Self-feeding believer. Now, I want you to look at verse 13, and let's see about this thing, all right? Look at verse 13. He says, till I come, give attendance. That means pay attention to this. Apply yourself to this. Well, what am I supposed to apply myself to? What do I need to pay attention to? Three things. Number one is what? Write that in your handout, reading. He said, pay attention to reading. If you're going to be a self-feeding believer, you've got to be a reader. Now, in context, I think he's talking about mainly reading the Bible, reading God's Word. But I think also that would include reading books that will edify you in your understanding of God's Word. I want you to look at the verse up on the screen here, Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 22. Let's bring it up. All right, can we bring that up? My son, he says, notice, attend. There's that word again. Pay attention, he says, my son, to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine what? Eyes, reading. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. You know, many of our questions in life would be answered by simply taking time to read God's Word constantly. Just reading His Word consistently. Many of the questions we have in life would be answered by that. You got to be a reader. I tell my kids all the time, you have to be a reader. You got to be a reader. Because if you don't read, if you don't develop that godly habit of reading, then what happens is then you're dependent on everybody else to educate you. You're dependent on everybody else to put something into your ear because you can't read for yourself to learn. And then you're dependent on other people. And the problem with that is so many Christians, you know what they're listening to? They're listening to the wrong kind of music. They're listening to Hollywood. They're listening to TV. They're listening to whatever the newscast tells them. They're listening to the wrong things. Therefore, you have to be able to read and to feed yourself from the Word of God. You've got to be a self-feeding believer. That's going to take reading. And so many things in your life would be answered by just reading the Bible consistently. It's like, you know, we talk about this thing. I'm not a tea drinker. How many of y'all like tea? Raise your hand if you like tea. All right. Now, my wife has drunk tea in the past. She really doesn't do it much anymore. But my mom used to love tea, and she would drink it all the time. And what's the difference between a strong and a weak cup of tea? Thank you. All right. Let her come preach this. Amen. Right. You're right. You are right. You got water and tea, correct? A strong cup of tea and a weak cup of tea, the ingredients are the same, correct? Yes. Water and tea. The difference is how long you take the tea leaves and how long you leave them in the water. That's the difference between a strong and a weak cup of tea. Listen, the longer I leave the tea leaves in, the more time for the water to get into the tea and for the tea to get into the water. The longer the steeping process, the stronger the cup of tea. Now let's apply that. In the same way, the length of time you spend in God's Word is going to determine how deeply you get into that book and how deeply it gets into you. Just like that tea, the longer you're in the Word, the stronger you will become. Reading. You have to be a self-feeding believer and get in the book. Number two. The second thing he says, look at verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading. But then he said, number two, to exhortation. You say, what is that? That's encouraging others. That's taking what you're learning and sharing it with somebody else, encouraging them with it. You see, it's okay, how many of you, I wonder, take what you learn on Sunday and tell somebody else about it, right? You say, man, you won't believe what I learned at church Sunday. And you call a friend or a parent or somebody out of town or somebody at work, and you take this home with you, and then you share it with somebody else. Hey, if you can take this, what you're learning right now, and it's going in here, and you're reading it, and you take it, though, and when you share it with someone else, that's another level of learning right there. If you can take what we're learning today, then rephrase it in your own words to somebody else and exhort and encourage them with it, what happens is then you have just reinforced that in your heart. You see, when we learn and we read and we self-feed ourselves, it's not just to puff ourselves up and show off what we know. In your handout, it says we use our knowledge of God's word to exhort and to challenge others. And as you use your knowledge to help others, then it reinforces God's truth in your own heart, and others are also changed for Christ. If you look at the verse up here, this is a great example. Look at this one. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those, notice, how did they get mature? Even those who by reason of what? Use. See, their exhortation, they're using it. They're using it to encourage somebody else, and therefore they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Reading, exhortation, then look at the next one in your handout. In verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and then number 3, what's the last one, church? I want you to write that in. Write that word in. Doctrine. What is doctrine? What's doctrine? It's simply God's instructions. You pay attention to God's instructions for you. Now you live in the time of grace. You're a grace age believer. So if I'm going to know God's instructions for me, I've got to get into that book, specifically to the Apostle Paul's letters to the churches. Why? Because he's writing directly to people just like me. Paul wrote to Gentiles that were saved and that were in local churches. That's who he wrote to. Paul wrote to people just like us. They're living in this time period, this grace age that we live in. He's writing to people that are in local churches just like you and I. He's writing to Christians. And so I go to Paul and I get doctrine. I get God's instruction specifically for me today. There's doctrine that nourishes you up. It feeds you. Verse 6, he talked about doctrine that nourishes you up. Then there's doctrines of devils, he said in verse 1 of this chapter. Unfortunately, many believers don't know the difference between the two. They don't know the difference between doctrine that nourishes and doctrines of devils. Anything that sounds good and tickles their ears and they sprinkle it with a little scripture, they accept it. That's why it's so important that you take time. I know you're busy. I'm busy. We're all busy. We all got stuff going on. But again, it's take heed unto thyself. I can't make the decision for you. Your kids can't make the decision for you. You can't make the decision for your kids. And you have to take heed unto thyself. You got to pay attention to your own spiritual health. And you have to carve out that time to get into God's word every day. And in your handout, it says, as God's word gets in your heart, it insulates you from doctrines of devils and the world's philosophy. Hey, question, can a Christian allow the world's philosophy to creep into your heart? Absolutely. Man, the TV and all the different things you hear, man, the world's philosophy can creep into your heart so quick. When the word of God gets inside of you, it insulates your heart from that stuff. It insulates you on the inside. See, it's not just an exterior thing. It insulates you on the inside. It's kind of like insulation inside your house. You know, you got insulation up there in the attic and maybe in the walls. Why? It's to insulate the house. That is to keep the elements from the outside from getting in. And when you are in God's word and you're reading it, then you're using what you've learned, and you're paying attention to doctrine, to the instructions God has for you, and you're studying those things out, it insulates you from those doctrines of devils that he talked about there in verse number 1. People, hey, can somebody stand up, give you instruction from the Bible, have a chapter and verse, and yet can they still be teaching doctrines of devils? Absolutely. They got a chapter and verse. What's the problem? They took it out of context. They twisted the Bible. They distorted the Bible. But a lot of believers can't tell that because they haven't been paying attention. They haven't been taking heed to their own spiritual health. And therefore, that sounds good. Yeah. Yeah, sounds great. And it's not great. It's like the timeline chart we've showed you many times, and we'll bring it up. It's back here behind me. You know, somebody stands up and quotes a verse. Well, where's it coming from? Is it coming from the Old Testament? Is it coming maybe from the time of Christ on earth? Is it coming in this parentheses, the time of grace that we're living in today? Maybe they're quoting a verse and it has to do with the tribulation in the future or the kingdom that's coming out there in the future to the earth. Maybe it even is a verse that deals with eternity future. Where's the verse at in the Bible? You say, man, that sounds hard to learn. That's not hard to learn. You can learn it relatively quickly to where you can learn the layout of it's laid out very user-friendly too, because it's not like God has a book over here that's church age and then the next book's the kingdom and then the next book's Old Testament and then the next book is. No, he's got the Bibles laid out very user-friendly to where you can grab a hold of it and understand it relatively quickly, but nobody can make you do that. Take heed unto thyself. I want to reiterate, you have to take responsibility to read and study God's Word and become a self-feeder. Feed yourself from the Word of God. You can't depend upon other people to do that for you. If you're not growing as a Christian, or maybe you feel stagnant, you just feel kind of cold, kind of indifferent, that warmth, that zeal, that fire, that love for Jesus just is not what it used to be. Can I submit to you in love, the mirror is the first place to look? Paul said, take heed unto thyself. Save thyself. If you want to be delivered daily from the power of sin, you have to take care of your own spiritual health. Nobody can do it for you. I cannot walk with Christ for my wife. She cannot walk with Christ for me. I cannot walk with Christ for you, Shannon, and you can't do it for me. I cannot walk with Christ for my kids. They have to make that decision. I can encourage them. I can try to motivate them. I can try to explain to them the importance. But they have to hunger for him. They have to love Jesus. They have to have that inner heart desire. Through the years, I've seen believers leave churches that I know are teaching the Bible and I know are preaching the Bible. Now, that in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. You know, I've said that for years. It's a believer's choice where they want to fellowship. And that's why if someone leaves Crossroads, I'm not going to try to, that's just terrible and paint them in a bad light. That's a believer's choice. You fellowship, you hang out with who you want to hang out with. You serve where you want to serve. You fellowship where you want to fellowship, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. But what gets me is when somebody that I know is in a church that's teaching the Bible, and somebody says, why'd you leave the church? And they say, I'm just not being fed anymore. When in reality, it's unresolved conflict. They're mad at somebody. They're mad at a decision that was made. They're upset with somebody. They didn't take the time to work it out, talk about it, resolve it. They ran. And when they're asked why, it doesn't sound real spiritual when somebody says, why you leave the church, to say, I got mad at the preacher and left. That doesn't sound as good as, I'm not being fed. That just sounds more spiritual. I'm just not being fed at that church. You know, whenever somebody says something like that, they're telling on themselves, aren't they? Because every believer should be mature enough to feed themselves from God's Word. God's Word's readily accessible. It's not like Crossroads. We got one copy, and it sits right here. Nobody else has a Bible. We got one copy. This is our copy, and we all take turns coming in during the week to read it. And if you want to come in, if you want to read the Bible, you got to come in. You got to schedule a time. You got to wait on whoever's reading it. Then you get your turn, and you get to come up and read it. Then you leave. No, man, the Bible is readily accessible. I think probably all of us in here have a copy of God's Word this morning. We've all got a copy. We've all got the Bible sitting around our house. It's readily accessible. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. We got a whole storage room over here full of them to give away to people who need them. We'll give you a Bible. Or you can go to the dollar store and get one. It's readily accessible. So when a believer says something like that, well, they're telling on themselves. They're not putting time in their personal walk with Christ. You see, the spiritual nourishment that you get here at church, put this in your handout. Look what it says. The spiritual nourishment that you get at church should be like a vitamin supplement. You know, I don't think I've ever had a blank be vitamin, so I threw that in there. I thought that'd be kind of neat. That's an unusual blank, vitamin. But what you get here ought to be a vitamin supplement. Now, what do I mean by that? How many of y'all in here take vitamins? Raise your hand if you take vitamins. Wow. Not as many as the 930, but a lot of people take vitamins. I take vitamins. I take them almost every day. But you know what? Denise is making a roast beef dinner today for lunch. And did you know I am not going to go home and for lunch have a handful of vitamins? You know I'm not going to do that? And she better not try to do that to me, amen? I'm going to go home and I'm going to eat me some roast beef and some mashed potatoes and some gravy and whatever else she's making. I'm going to go home and have some roast beef. Why? The vitamins are a supplement. They're not there to replace food. They're there as a supplement to enhance a regular nourishing diet. What you get at church is like a vitamin supplement. The idea is you're digging out your own roast beef during the week. You're digging out your own roast beef, man. You're getting your own meat out of that book. You're getting your meat and taters yourself out of the Bible. What you get at church is supplemental. Does that make sense? Say amen. Y'all got that? But when you're taking the Bible and you're just sitting it on the shelf at home during the week and you're not ever getting in it, you're not taking heed unto thyself. You can get carnal real quick that way. You can get spiritually immature real fast. You have to become a self-feeding Christian. Take heed unto thyself, he told Timothy. Save thyself. Listen, I've got a little chart here. We'll go ahead and click it once. And we all start out as babes in Christ. We all start out the same way. Immature, Bible says we're easily deceived. We all start out as babies in Christ. Now the goal, if you do the next click, the goal is we all want to become mature. Like we read earlier, Hebrews talk about Christians that were full age. Doesn't mean you're perfect, just means that you're mature. You handle things in a mature way. You're a mature believer. Mature meaning you're Christ-like in your dealings with people. You're Christ-like in your attitudes. You're Christ-like in the way you deal with conflict. You just, Christ spills over in your life. You're mature. Now look, how am I going to go from baby to mature? What's the word? Gotta grow. You gotta grow. You gotta grow up, as Ephesians 4:15 says. You have to grow up in Christ. You gotta grow. You have to take heed unto thyself. I can't grow for you. I can't grow for my kids. I'd like to be able to grow for them, but I can't. I can encourage them to grow. I can try to give them every opportunity to grow. You can't make someone come to Freedom Found and want to grow and overcome addictions. You know, John and Linda, they can't make somebody come to Grief Share if they're dealing with grief and they're struggling and it's got them in bondage. They can't make them come to Grief Share. We can't make you come back on Sunday night. We can't make you come back on Wednesday night. We can't make you get involved in men's Bible study. We can't make you get involved in a Bible Institute class or a life group. You have to take heed unto thyself. You have to do those things that are necessary for you to grow. And we got to man up. We got to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm stagnant. I'm not growing. And I'm the reason. It isn't going to work to blame your husband. It isn't going to work to blame your wife. It is not going to work to blame your spouse for your lackadaisical walk with Christ. That ain't going to work. It's not going to work to blame your parents or your pastor or your church. It's not going to work. You listen, you don't want your life to end up like Paul said in chapter 1, a shipwreck. And it is so easy to get off course. It's like a ship, man. A ship gets off its course a degree, and then another degree, and then maybe another degree. Before you know it, that ship ends up shipwrecked. And it is so easy in the Christian life to get off course, to get a degree off this way or a degree off that way. And it is so easy to get off course and, as I say, begin to drift. It is so easy to start drifting in your walk with Christ and not have that intimate walk with Christ that He wants you to have. And blaming other people for it isn't going to work. In your handout, it says you have to take personal responsibility for your spiritual growth in Christ. And the good news is that you can. You can do that. You can take that responsibility for your walk with Christ. Get a plan. I've got a screen here. Let's bring that. This isn't in the handout. This is just for PowerPoint. I said, get a plan. Here's a couple suggestions. Number one, get a Bible reading schedule. If you go online and you search in any search engine and you put in Bible reading schedule, you'll probably get 5 pages of them. Different Bible reading schedules that people have out there for free, and you can read the Bible, and a lot of them, they'll take you through the whole Bible in a year. You just read these chapters each day, you will have read the whole Bible through in a year. Get a Bible reading schedule. Number two, set aside time for prayer each day. I can't set aside time for you. You have to make that decision. And if you don't set aside the time for prayer every day, it's probably not going to happen. You've got to carve out that time with the Lord. Number three, it says find some good Bible study helps. Again, there's so many free resources. Clint likes a thing called Blue Letter Bible, blueletterbible.org. I like eSword. They're both free. They're online. eSword, man, you can get Bible concordances, Bible dictionaries, Bible commentaries. You know, you can get stuff that will help you, that will just make your Bible study a little easier, a little more fruitful. Make it more enjoyable. But find some good Bible study helps. Now, again, you got to be careful. We'd be glad to help you with that. If you want to ask our advice, any of the pastors will be glad to help you and guide you to some good resources that are free. And then the last thing there is just read. Just read, learn, and grow. You have to do that yourself. Christian, how is your walk with Christ? Are you growing or have you been stagnant? Now listen, nobody can force you to grow in your walk with Christ. And nobody can grow for you. Nobody can grow for you. It's got to be a desire from within your heart. It's got to come from right inside there. Look at verse 16 again. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Take heed unto thyself, save thyself. Take that personal responsibility for your walk with Christ.